Well, good evening to everyone. I am very, very encouraged by the songs that we sang tonight. Thank you, Brother Jim, for singing those songs and for everyone for participating in that. We have a wonderful place where we are going, and I look forward to going there with all of you. I was thinking about just some of those that I knew earlier, years ago here, and they're not here with us. I'm sure you knew them much better than I did, but we're going to go all to the same place and worship together. That'll be a wonderful day, a wonderful day. I'm encouraged by your singing, I'm encouraged by your excitement about this meeting, by your presence, of course, but also by the good example that you have shown to invite your friends to show your excitement about the Word of God. That's encouraging, and it gives me a lot of excitement to share the messages that I have to share. But with some reservation, because these are the wonderful words of life, and sometimes I feel like I just get in the way. But I pray that as we study these things together, that we will all be encouraged, that we all again be challenged to be better for our good God. And I pray that will be our. That is our goal, and I pray that will be the result of these lessons. And we're in the book of Daniel tonight again. If you open up your Bibles to the book of Daniel, we're going to be talking about Daniel chapter 6. Yesterday we talked about Daniel chapter 1 and how Daniel and his friends arrived in the land of Babylon and were challenged immediately with the king's choice food. What were they going to do? Were they going to claim their own identity, or they were going to stay with the identity given to them by God? And they decided to challenge the king. They were only going to eat what God asked them to eat, and they were strong about that. Chapter 4 is another chapter that we talked about yesterday. We talked about Nebuchadnezzar, his dream, and how he was humiliated, and a chapter that shows the power of God, that God, is, the Most High, is the one who reigns in the kingdoms of men. Tonight's chapter, in chapter 6, skips time for a while. The book of Daniel, we have the idea that maybe it's going to be a chronological, and in some ways it is chronological, but it does skip over quite a bit of time going from one king to another. And when we read here in Daniel chapter 6, 70 years have passed since Daniel chapter 1. It says in Daniel chapter 6 in verse 1, it says, "It seemed good to Darius to appoint 120 satraps over the kingdom, that they would be in charge of the whole kingdom." Here is Darius the king. This is the same Darius that we have in chapter 5 in verse 31, who took over Babylon when Belshazzar was king. And he is now ruling. He is a Mede. He's in this the Medes and the Persians, this kingdom. And so this is a time when about around 539 BC, about 65 to 70 years after that first event of Daniel chapter 1. And so it says that when Darius comes to Babylon, rather than appointing new officials over the whole land, it looks like he is taking the previous officials, and he is reorganizing them. In fact, it says in verse 3, he gave over these satraps, these 120 satraps, these officials. He had three commissioners, one of whom was Daniel, that these satraps might be accountable to them, and that the king might not suffer loss. You have 120, and over those 120, you have three particular men. Then Daniel began distinguishing himself among the commissioners and satraps because he possessed an extraordinary spirit, and the king planned to appoint him over the entire kingdom. What an honor given to Daniel. Daniel is an old man at this point. Maybe he's in his 80s. Maybe he's in his 90s. But the Lord has been with him even during the time of the Babylonians. And now that the Persians are here, the Lord is with him again. And he's distinguishing himself. And boy, Darius thinks it'd be better if this Daniel is just going to be here, and then it'd be better for him to run the show. This is a success for Daniel, and what we're going to see that this success is something that the others are not really appreciative of. But before we get to that, I think there's an application here that a very simple application, but hard work, honesty, and character pay off. One of the distinguishing characteristics about Daniel is not, well, yes, Daniel is, it turns out to be a very wise man, a very educated man, but I think one of the greatest characteristics that we see in this book is that he's a man of character. He is an honest man. He is not only he's not just looking out for his own gain and looking for promotions, but as we saw last night when we talked about Nebuchadnezzar, what was his attitude toward Nebuchadnezzar? Well, he wanted the success of Nebuchadnezzar. He wanted the success of the country around him. He, although everybody else and all his friends may have taken chosen a different route, Daniel chose the godly route. He chose to retain his character and work hard, even when everybody else made compromises. And I think that's just a good example for us today. Good example for all of us that even today, character pays off in the end. We could go to the book of Proverbs and see that for the whole book of Proverbs is filled with verses that illustrate this. The liar is setting his own trap. The sluggard is the one who is hastening his own destruction. And I think that just makes sense. Just think about if you were an owner of a business, well, what kind of... Well, there goes my PowerPoint. What kind of employee would you like? Would you like an employee that is... Well, it looks like it's going to come up again. You know what? I'm just going to leave that so I don't get distracted. What kind of employee did you want? Well, you want one that's honest. You want one that is responsible. You want one that is not just looking out for his own gains. And then that just makes sense. And if I were a business owner, I think that I would, from a business perspective, I would value honesty even over talent. Because honesty, if I can trust that someone's going to do what he says he's going to do, if I can trust that he is not going to be stealing from the company, well, even from a business perspective, that just makes sense. Character, honesty, hard work, that pays off in the end. But I do have to clarify that it doesn't always pay off. And that's the case here with Daniel. Daniel is distinguishing himself in front of Darius. But all these other satraps, all these other commissioners that are looking at Daniel, say, wait a minute, why is he getting the promotion? They're not very happy with this. And so it says in verse 4 that the commissioners and the satraps began trying to find a ground of accusation against Daniel in regard to the government affairs. Rather than appreciate his character, the other commissioners and satraps saw Daniel as a challenge to their position and a challenge to their lifestyles. So they sought to bring about his demise. And again, a good application for us. That even if we have good character, we don't need to think that everything is going to go smoothly. There will be some people that appreciate good character. There will be some people that appreciate honesty in this world still. But if we think that everyone will appreciate our good character, we are just lying to ourselves. In fact, in John chapter 3, marking your books in Daniel chapter 6, turn with me in John chapter 3, and remember Jesus' words as he spoke to his disciples. Or these are the words actually of John, it could be of John the Apostle here. John chapter 3, could be that these are the words of Jesus himself, or it could be that John the Apostle commenting on what Jesus is saying. But he says in chapter 3 in verse 19, it says, "This is the judgment, that light has come into the world, and men loved the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds are darkness. For everyone who does evil hates the light, and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But he who practices his truth comes to the light, so that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God." There are some people who are not going to appreciate that you're an honest person. There are some people who are not going to appreciate that you are kind to others. And in fact, what Jesus says is that if we do good deeds and we show God's light in our lives, there are some people who are not going to be want to be around us. And they're going to look for our demise as well. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul tells Timothy that every godly person is going to be what? Going to be persecuted. We have to be ready for that. And it ought not to strike us as something strange. It's something normal in this dark world that we will be persecuted. And so Daniel was attacked. And where are they going to attack him? Again, starting in verse 4, it says, the commissioners and the satraps began trying to find grounds of accusation against Daniel in regard to government affairs. But they could find no ground of accusation or evidence of corruption, inasmuch as he was faithful, and no negligence or corruption was to be found in him. Then these men said, we will not find any ground of accusation against Daniel, unless we find it against him with regard to the law of his God. Isn't that an amazing statement? That is absolutely an amazing statement, especially when we think about people who enter into politics. Do you know any honest politicians? I wonder if that is a, what do you call that, oxymoron. Are there any honest, there might be. There might be some politicians that are not corrupt. There might be some politicians that, you know, get power, and they work only for the people and not for themselves. But we all have an idea that those politicians are far and few between. And especially to find one that is with no corruption. In today's age, even people who are not out for what? Their own good. That they're public servants, true public servants. Somebody's going to find some kind of trash on them. And they don't play softball in today's politics. And these guys were not looking for, well, let's try to be fair with Daniel. They were looking to destroy him. But what do they find? There's just nothing here. We can't find anything on this guy. The only thing that we can find on this guy is that he is a very godly man. We can only find the problems with the law of his God. What an amazing statement about Daniel's character. But not just about Daniel's character, but about his consistent character. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, Paul talks about elders. And what is one of the characteristics that an elder has to have? He is to be one who is above reproach. Every time I think about an elder and that he is to be above reproach, I think about Daniel. He's the man they look for something in his life that's bad and they just can't find anything. He was a man who was above reproach. God calls all of us, whether we are elders or not, to be above reproach. In fact, look in 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. And in verse 12, Peter is talking about these Christians who are living as pilgrims in this foreign land. They're Christians living in this land. Although they are from this land, they are not of this land. And he says to them, keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the thing in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, because of your good deeds, as they observe him, glorify God in the day of visitation. You make sure that your conduct is good in this world. They're going to slander you. They're going to persecute you. But they better not find anything on you. They need to have, be, it needs to be that, that they will slander you because of your good deeds. But then later in verse 15, it says, for such is the will of God that by doing right, you may silence the ignorance of foolish men. There are a lot of foolish men around us. We need to have the character that matches that of David, or of Daniel. Well, how do you do that? It's not by mistake. And it's not even just by being careful in front of others to the point that you're so nervous about them, about what you're going to, how you're going to show your character in front of them. Oh no, I got to put on my best behavior. That's not what Peter was asking them to do. And that's not what Daniel tried to do. Daniel had a good character in front of people. Why? Because he was a good character. It's not that Daniel was putting on a show when he was in front of Nebuchadnezzar or in front of Belshazzar or in front of Darius. This was who he was. Obviously, everyone is going to make mistakes. But the only way that we can have the same character as Daniel, the only way is if the person that people see publicly is also the people that who we are privately. No hypocrites allowed. Look with me in Daniel chapter 6 again. In Daniel chapter 6 and verse 6, these commissioners, these satraps, have a plan up their sleeve. They have figured out what they're going to do with Daniel. It says in verse 6, "Now these commissioners and satraps came by agreement to the king and spoke to him as follows. King Darius, live forever. All the commissioners of the kingdom and the prefects and the satraps and the high officials and the governors have consulted together, and the king should establish a statute and enforce an injunction that anyone who makes a petition to any god or any man besides you, O king, for 30 days shall be cast into the lion's den. Now, O king, establish the injunction and sign the document, that it may not be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which may not be revoked. Therefore, King Darius signed the document, and that is the injunction." So they come to Darius and what? They want him to sign a paper that says, no one should worship any god, pray to any god except for you for 30 days. Isn't that kind of a strange rule to come up with? And I don't know, we maybe wonder why is Darius so dense that he buys into this? Why would anyone agree to this? This seems like such a foolish thing to do. But can you see where these satraps were the wiser individuals? And the commissioners come in, and they don't just come in and say, we think this is a good idea. Why don't we do this and you can just sign it? No, they come in with what? Very nice words. Soothing words. Do you know, we, all of the wise men of the country, we've gotten together and we think it's a good idea that we only pray to you. Oh, is that so? Is that so? Do you think that's really a good idea? You say all of the wise men? Oh, and the governors too? And the commissioners too? Everybody thinks that this is a good idea. Well, you know, I don't want to put myself against all these different wise men. And you know what? 30 days is not so much of a long time. And really, who can it hurt anyway? So he takes out his pen and he signs. And as is the law of the Persians and the Medes, he can't take it away. And here come the satraps. Here come the commissioners afterwards. And they say, look, here is this Daniel. They're going to catch him. It says in verse 10, "Now Daniel knew the document was signed. So he entered his house, now in his roof chamber. He had his windows open toward Jerusalem, and he continued kneeling on his knees 3 times a day, praying and giving thanks before his God, as he had been doing previously. And these men came by agreement and found Daniel making petition and supplication before God. And they approached and spoke to the king about the king's injunction. Did you not sign an injunction that any man who makes a petition to any god or man besides you, O king, for 30 days is to be cast into the lion's den?" And the king replied, "Oh, the statement is true according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which may not be revoked." The king finds himself in a bad position. Going back to Daniel and his character. Daniel is, when he finds out about this document, he knew about the document. This is bad news for Daniel. But what does he do? He turns his face to Jerusalem, which is a note, just for a note for you, in 2 Kings chapter 8, when Solomon prays to God and dedicates his temple. There is a saying in there, in a couple of verses there, that talks about, that makes a petition to God, that this place, this temple, that whenever one Israelite is away from Jerusalem, that they can pray to this place, pray in this direction. And I wonder if there's a connection there then with this detail that Daniel now is pointing himself toward Jerusalem, even though Jerusalem is already destroyed. But here is Daniel, and instead of obeying the king, he goes and he prays to God. An application for us is that there are some times when we need to have, someone said the word, we need to have the moxie to go ahead and disobey the government sometimes when it goes against what our God has commanded us. We talked yesterday about the fact that we need to honor and obey the government. And even though this sounds like a contradiction, there are times when we must disobey the government, when the government requires us to do something contrary to the laws of God. May we have the courage of Daniel and the courage of the apostles when they said, we must do God's will rather than man's will. We must obey God rather than man. And it's not that just that this is an act of rebellion. Wait a minute, they can't take away my liberties. They can't do that to me, and I'm not going to... That was not Daniel's attitude at all. Never had been his attitude. But rather, he looked at the higher moral law that Jehovah had given to him, and he knew who his king was. So Daniel took, he bit the bullet, and he went and he prayed. And in fact, we know that this is not an attitude of rebellion on the part of Daniel. Why is that? Because the text says that this is what he'd already done before. He's just doing what he had done before. The text says in verse 10 that he entered into his room, that he continued kneeling on his knees three times a day as he had been doing previously. I think it's the New King James that says, as he was accustomed. And for me, this is one of the most powerful applications for us, one of the most powerful lessons for us from Daniel chapter 6. Daniel had a custom of praying. He had a custom of serving God. It was not just this one time. Wait a minute, you can't take away my liberties and I'm going to fight against it. And because, well, I haven't been doing up to this point, but now I'm going to go ahead and do it because you're saying that I can't have it. It's not like a man who says, wait a minute, the government's saying that I can't have any guns, so I'm going to go buy one. Well, that's kind of a rebellious attitude. You never had a gun before, now why are you worried about it? But Daniel says, wait a minute, I'm going to continue on with what I've been doing for these 70 years, all of my life. When we first met Daniel in Daniel chapter 1, he was a young man. But even as a young man, he was making hard decisions. But the example in Daniel chapter 6 is equally as powerful. Because now when Darius is king, 70 years have passed by since the first chapter. And now Daniel is at 80 or 90 as an old man, still making hard decisions. It's not just that we can make hard decisions as young people, but we have to make those hard decisions and those sacrifices every day and every year, all of our life. This decision of Daniel represents not just an occasional act of bravery on the part of Daniel, but it is a lifetime of service and sacrifice. Daniel chose God from the beginning, and he was choosing him till the end. What an amazing example in Daniel. Let me ask you, what kind of customs do you have? These individuals who were trying to catch Daniel, they knew exactly where he was going to be. Because that was his custom. That's what he did all the time. Do your neighbors know that you have some customs as well? Do they know where you're going to be on Sunday? Do they know where you're going to be on Wednesday? Do they know that you're a man of prayer or a woman who reads her Bible? That's your custom. People ought to be able to see these customs in our lives. But how can we define our life generally? Do we look back to our youth and realize that, well, yes, in my youth, I did a lot of sacrificing for the Lord. But now that I've become old, well, that's what young people do. Daniel is an example for all of us, young and old, and everything in between. A man who is willing to sacrifice everything for the Lord. Daniel chapter 6 and verse 16 tells us what happens when Daniel is finally thrown into the lion's den. It says in verse 16 that the king gave orders and Daniel was brought in and cast into the lions. The king spoke and said to Daniel, "Your God, whom you can constantly serve, will himself deliver you." Interesting note, and we'll say some more about that later on. But the stone was brought and laid over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the signet ring of his nobles so that nothing would be changed in regard to Daniel. It is sealed, it is done, and he is dead, according to everyone. But then the king went off to his palace, and he spent the night fasting. With no entertainment was brought to him, and he slept, and slept fled from him. Then the king rose at dawn and at daybreak and went in haste to the lion's den. When he came near to the den, to Daniel, he cried out with a troubled voice. The king spoke to him and said to Daniel, "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you constantly serve, been able to deliver you from the lions?" And Daniel spoke to the king, "O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth, and they have not harmed me. And as much as I was found innocent before him, and also toward you, O king, I have committed no crime." Daniel was thrown to the lion's den. You know, often artists draw this scene of Daniel being put before the lions. And often they get this scene very incorrectly. Many times when they draw Daniel, they draw him as a young man instead of an old man, possibly frail and spent, stripped of the royal robes or the special robes that he would normally have. Sometimes the lions are drawn for children, and they look harmless as puppies. In fact, they have smiles on their faces. That's not what I imagine when Daniel is thrown to the lions. Have you ever seen the paw of a lion? There in the Philadelphia Zoo, there's one section where they have several large cats in captivity. And on one of the occasions, one of the lions was sleeping with one of his massive paws just resting against the window. And I could go and put my own hand against his, and my hand was dwarfed. And then you notice those razor-sharp claws and those jaws that can crush a man's skull in just a moment. This must have been a scary time for Daniel. But because of Daniel's character, because of Daniel's choices, even though we shudder with Daniel standing before those beautiful but tremendously deadly creatures, God saw him and shut the mouths of those lions. Let us be amazed again at the power of our God and his choice to save those who stand by him. Let us have the courage of this man, whether we are young or whether we are old, to make sacrifices and choices, not based on convenience, but based on truth, based on character, based on who God is. Let us not be afraid ever to speak the truths of God in front of men who will persecute us. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28, when Jesus is talking to his own disciples, he says to them, "Do not fear those who kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul. But rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." You know, it's easy to read that chapter or read that verse. But it's another thing to live it. These apostles went to their deaths, finally, serving our good God. Where is my courage? Where is your courage? Put action behind that courage and live like Daniel. And God will shut that lion's mouth. Daniel chapter 9, it says in Daniel chapter 9, this is one of the amazing parts of all of this. In Daniel chapter 9, it says that the king gave orders in verse... No, I'm sorry, Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 6, I'm getting ahead of myself. Tomorrow is Daniel chapter 9. But Daniel chapter 6, it says in verse 24 that the king gave orders, and they brought all those men who had maliciously accused Daniel, and they cast them into and their children and their wives into the lion's den, that they may not reach... And they did not reach the bottom of the den before the lions overpowered them and crushed all their bones. Now look at this in verse 25. Then Darius the king wrote to all the peoples and nations and men of every language who were living in all the land, "May your peace abound. I make a decree that in all dominion of my kingdom, men are to fear and tremble before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and the enduring forever. And his kingdom is one which will not be destroyed. And his dominion will be forever. He delivers and he rescues and he performs signs and wonders that heaven and on earth. Who has also delivered Daniel from the power of the lions." We talked about the words of Nebuchadnezzar yesterday. What powerful words come from this Gentile pagan king who has been amazed by God. Here again. Here is Darius. With so much power in his hands. But even we saw, even before Daniel was put into the lion's den, what did he say? He gave a statement of faith. "Your God's going to be able to save you, Daniel. I know that he's going to be able to save you." And he did. And he comes back with these words. A decree to all. "Let it be known who this God is. He is the God of Daniel. He endures forever. His dominion is forever. He is the one that rules." Going back to our theme for Daniel. "He is the Most High who rules in the kingdoms of men." Isn't it amazing how God opens hearts of men through his own action, but also through our participation? Do you remember the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 5? As he speaks to men and women, to his disciples, about what type of character they need to have, about how they need to sacrifice, how they need to give up themselves so that they may serve Christ, they may enter into his kingdom. And now he says, "Now this is your job. Go. Go." He says in chapter 5 and in verse 17, or in verse 18, he says, in verse 13, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under the foot of men. You are the light of the world. A city set on the hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but put it on its lampstand and gives it light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." It's really describing Daniel. He was a man of character. A man who was not willing to compromise his character when in a hard situation. And because of that character that he had, what happened? Darius glorified God. He saw his light. He saw his salt. And he glorified God. Let God's light be shown through you. God is willing to shut the lion's mouth. And he's willing to open men's hearts. But we have to be willing to participate by having that good character. By making those sacrifices that are so hard when we are young and so hard when we are old. Let us never lose our flavor. Let's take out our songbooks. I pray that you're encouraged by this example of Daniel tonight. Encouraged not just to be here and come to worship because, well, it's kind of your custom. It's just kind of a routine that you do, but you do it because you want to give a sacrifice to God. And that same sacrifice is what you want to give to Him every single day. And if that's our character, if that's our choice, can you imagine the good things that can happen here in Burnet? I know a lot of you are making those sacrifices and making those choices. And that really excites me and encourages me. And I'm so glad that we can work together as we do this together. Maybe that you're not a Christian here tonight. And that you've been really inspired by the character of Daniel. Inspired by the character of our good God who saves and saves again. He can save you tonight. Is your heart open to Him? If it is, come forward as we stand and as we sing.